You solemnly swear the evidence you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Welcome to Crime Time with Vito Colucci, P.I.
Come on, Johnny, you might as well talk. Who robbed that payroll truck?
I've read the case files, have you?
This sure gives an airtight alibi.
Crime Time is heard exclusively on Biz Talk Radio. Check out podcasts of our shows or listen live at biztalkradio.com. And now, your host of Crime Time, Vito Colucci, P.I.
Okay, here we are, Crime Time with Vito Colucci, P.I., another Sunday night, another show. And I want to thank everybody for the infos and the calling me on the phone and talking about the show. They really love it, and I'm so very happy about that. We've been very fortunate that just over the last few weeks, we've been talking about everything on the show here. We had on Karen Conti, a big attorney from Chicago. She even worked for serial killer John Wayne Gacy back in the day. So she's been on here. We had the former warden for the maximum prison in Colorado, Supermax, talking about all the people that come in and out of there, the terrorists and everybody like that. So thank you, everybody, for the calls and well wishes, and I know we're doing really good. And we got a great show tonight, too, to talk about over here. Okay, and I'm going to read a little introduction for our guest. Anthony Butch Lupinacci, for many years, headed up the Criminal Investigations Division of the Stanford Police Department. Butch retired from the Stanford Police Department in 2015, and let's see, he's a native of Stanford, Connecticut. I'm just going through all my notes here that I have over here. He's a past recipient of the Police Officer of the Year, Police Officer of the Month, and he has received numerous performance awards during his career. Butch was a sergeant with the police department and has served in several divisions within the department in a supervisory capacity. He has over 20 years experience in the investigative division, and 17 years as a supervisor in the Detective Bureau, during which time he has investigated several hundred major crimes, most of which were successively concluded. Butch, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Vito. I must say, I hope I could live up to your prior guest. I'm in awe of them.
You know what it is, Butch? People like it because these people, like I told you about the attorney, Karen, and everybody else, they do so much TV that they love. I don't think I get anybody that says no to being on the show, because they can stretch out over 40, 45 minutes doing TV like I did with them. Is you get a hit time of 7-8 minutes, and that's it, you know?
Right.
And at least with radio, I tell people all the time, I love doing the TV shows, but I really love doing radio. I'm sitting here with my sweats on, with a cup of tea, and you would not want to see my hair right now. Okay, that's why they tell me all the time I have a great face for radio, and I thought it was a compliment. First, I actually said thank you to the person telling me that. But anyway, good to be on the show, Butch, and ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the finest police officers I've ever seen. I served on the Stanford Police Department. I did not know Butch back in the day. He came on after me, but he, and I have to, you know, tell everybody, he does work for Colucci Investigations right now, the last, I think, year and a half or so, and we've been having fun, we've been doing cases, and it's very good. So, Butch, long time ago, and plus in our city where we lived all our life, Stanford, Connecticut, we grew up on what was called the West Side, dominated very Italian neighborhoods that we grew up. So we know all the same people. But Butch, what made you think about, I never even asked you, what made you think about joining the police department back then? How old were you, and what pushed you over to take the test?
Well, I didn't come on until my late 20s, Vito, but I have to tell you, when I was a young kid, we grew up, my family didn't have much. And every year, the police officers union would give a big party and everything at a theater, and they would give you free Christmas presents and food. And I said, gee, this is really, you know, this is nice what they do for the community.
Yeah,
and then and I come from my family was I don't have a police family, but they were police oriented. They taught us to respect police. If you needed a police officer, if you needed help, go to a police officer. And, you know, as a young kid, I was very impressed with that you're helping people and, you're doing good things. And, it seemed pretty rewarding. When I was 21, I took the test, but I guess I still had a few wild oats to sow. So I didn't take it then. When I'm in my late 20s, I took it again. I settled down. I guess it was a maturation process for me. And at 29, I came on the job, and I think that was probably the right time for me to come on. So
I was just going to say that maybe, thank God, it was good that you didn't go on when you were 21, 22, you know?
Yeah, I was a young 21, so like I
said. Wow. A lot of guys are, Butch. Yeah, seems like a lot of guys are nowadays. The women mature, they say, much quicker than us. You know?
Yeah, my wife reminds me of that all the time.
Yeah, all the time, yes. That's right. Right. And, talking about going to the theater and things like that, back in my day, of course, I'm a few years older than you, but back in my day, we would go to the Stanford Armory, if you remember where that was, on South Street. Stanford Armory, and that's where they had the Christmas parties for I don't know how many years, but during my time growing up. And we'd go there pop in the tally. Is that how you say Santa Claus
in
somebody like that. I heard somebody say it one time. I remember that. But we would go there, and they'd load you with candy, and, it was really great. So you get on the job, and the public don't realize a lot of things that went on back in the day when we were starting off as rookies. See, it was not anything where you go in a squad car right away. You walk the beat. You walk the beat for my group that came on. There was eight of us, and we walked the beat for almost a year. You walk the beat until the next group comes on, the newer groups. And then little by little, you're put into a squad car. And every night, basically, they put you with a different man so you could learn all the people that's on there. We had a police force of around 300 plus a little bit. And you get, like they would say, ladies and gentlemen, you get to take the best from these people and leave the worst. And that was your learning experience, which I didn't like it at the time, but I'm very grateful for it now. Did you feel the same way? Did you have to walk a lot, walk the beat a lot?
No, matter of fact, we had a new chief at the time, and he was implementing new systems. So we pretty much went into cars. You didn't get your desired post or areas or whatnot, and you had a training officer that went with you, a senior officer. So but you had all the details and a very undesirable details and everything. A lot of it you didn't think was police work at the time, but those are things that had to be performed, and you were elected as the rookies.
So many, I'm sure this happened to you, so many of my friends and relatives I've said to them, you know, because I looked and I thought they were qualified or something. I said, why don't you judge the police department? Well, yeah, I would go on the police department, but I don't want to, I don't want to wear a uniform. I'm going to do all the good things. I said, well, you can't do that unless you're, I'm not saying it never happened, but if you're a 21-year-old person that can kind of go for 18 years old, they may utilize you in a different capacity. But you can't skip that over. See, that's coming from watching too many movies and TV shows, where you never see them in a uniform. They just automatically just go right on the street. Did you understand that too with people?
Oh, absolutely. You hear that all the time. Jeez, I'd like to come on. Matter of fact, there's a young lady I was talking to. She wants to become a police officer, but she says, but I don't want to go on have a beat. I just want to do forensics and stuff like that.
That's
a due time, but you have to prove yourself first,
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, Yeah, what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking a little bit, giving you, because so many people, I know from my emails and everything, so many people have called me, some of the younger people that are just taking criminal justice in all the major colleges. So they have a boatload of questions, and we're trying to give an example of what it's like to be on the police department. Yeah, Butch, we're going to be in a couple seconds going into a hard for the first one, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about a couple cases, funny stuff when you were a rookie. That's always fun to think back of the stuff you did as a rookie and the way you did it. You say, oh, my God. But stand by, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with Anthony Butch Lupinacci. When the record starts spinning, you chill it, so when you're chicken at the hop, 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 hop. Do the dance sensations that are sweeping the nation at the hop. Let's go to the hop. Let's go to the hop. Oh, baby, let's go to the hop. Oh, baby, let's go to the hop. Come on, let's go to the hop. Well, you can swing and you can groove and you can really start to move it at the hop. Only Tony Williams, lead singer, singing Only You. And Butch, I've told you before, out of that whole era, okay, so many good singers, for decades. Just my favorite, even as a kid, as a fledgling musician at the time. To me, I loved his voice. If I could pick out, even now, if I could pick out one person I would want to sound like as a singer, it would be Tony Williams.
Yeah. Amazing. My brother's favorite group, and my favorite song is My Prayer, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, just the way he ends the song with the high notes.
Yeah, he had some talent. He was Well, in those days, you had to have a heck of a lot of talent. You had to be multiple talented.
Oh, you did. Yeah, that's it. So, Butch, I'm reading some of the notes over here, and One thing we're going to talk about here, you had two homicides. Well, you've had more than that, but this is about when you were a rookie doing interrogations, okay? You've been pretty successful, Butch, with your interrogations, which is very, very important. Well, what do you want to tell us about back time?
Well, I mean, to step back, I wasn't actually a rookie, but as far as interrogations, according to my bosses, that was my forte, as far as extracting confessions.
Oh, that's great.
A lot of it I learned, not really through schooling. I mean, you can get some good points, I guess, but I learned really in life. That's why I'm happy in a way, you know, that I came on later in life. I learned a lot of good lessons in life out there. And as far as interrogations go, the best, you know, what worked for me, I'm not saying it's the best, it worked for me was, number one, developing a rapport with the subject you're talking to, too. You don't get into the crime right away and you
right.
try to break the ice and maybe talk about some common things or whatever, something he likes. And to break the ice, so to sort of gain trust and confidence, you know, okay? And then
right.
when you get into the crime, I usually played down the crime. Did you murder this guy? You know, I didn't play. I played it down. Okay, I didn't make it such a big deal, although it was a big deal.
Right, of course.
And then I would try to give the person an out of why they did it or something, or a good excuse or alibi that we knew wasn't true. But you give them an out so they'll feel freer to talk that, hey, maybe I wasn't totally wrong with that. And there's a lot
yeah.
of little nuances you look for. You know, their actions. Are they fidgety? Their eye movement, this, that, and the other thing. A lot of times you could tell whether they're telling you the truth or not.
Their hand goes right up to their mouth.
Yeah.
Their hand quickly right. goes up to their mouth without them realizing it.
Right. And one thing I've seen, like, you have to give the Miranda rights naturally, but you don't have to, if you're not questioning the crime or anything like that. You know, I got into the Miranda right when we're getting ready to talk with the case, okay?
Right.
Talk with the person on a personal level. Then when you go to Miranda, it's almost like a, you know, just something, listen, you know, we have to do this, Just to let you know and everything, just for your benefit. So they don't think too much on it. I'm not saying it's. I mean, I'm also playing down the Miranda rep, but you're doing the right thing, and
as long as
they understand they're right. But you'll find a lot of times once a person starts talking, they have a hard time stop talking, and they almost tell they want to tell you the truth. They want to tell you what happened, okay? Or
that's
at least
right.
their version of what happened. Okay, so we were pretty successful with that, and. As far as homicides, as a matter of fact, I have to say one thing, Vito. We had one in particular where I had a thing. If we were looking for, we had a major crime. I would interview everybody under arrest, everybody in the cell block, or have my guys interview everybody in the cell block.
Right.
If you have anything to talk to us? And we had one particular fellow was arrested on a purse snatching, and I asked him if he knew anything about this particular homicide. And he was looking for help on the purse snatch. And, we said, we'll give everything to the prosecutor and, see what we could do for it. And he ended up giving us a suspect who did the, and I ran the suspect. But the suspect happened to be in jail. The guy he gave us was in jail at the time of the homicide, all right?
Right.
But this guy knew too many things on the homicide. And to make a long story short, he ended up to be the guy who committed the murder.
The one that did it, yeah? Wow.
So, folks,
we have a lot of the young kids here, 18 on up into their 30s, that are going into. And look, these things we're talking about can help, whether you're in the FBI, CIA, a police department from a city. I once had a case where I was interviewing this lady in a bank, and we had gone back the second time because a lot of money was missing, and it was pretty easy to solve with her days off. In fact, every single time she worked, this was happening, and we mixed it against when other people were. You get everybody that wasn't working on one said day. So as we talked to her, we found out that her daughter was going to get married soon, and as we kept talking, and she was still saying she had nothing to do with it. I remember at that time just looking at her and say. Let's just call her Mary. I said, Mary, huh? It's kind of tough. I said, I got five kids, and three or four of them are married. I said, it's kind of tough putting it all together. I said, because I know I didn't have enough money. That's what I knew she was struggling with in her life. She kind of gave it out. I said, it's kind of an embarrassment with all your family and friends, and this is a one-shot deal for your daughter. And she started crying all of a sudden. I did it. And truthfully, she got so excited and nervous, person heading the bank over there had to go to her pocketbook and get her Cardizem pills, which she was having problems with her heart back then. So there's many, many ways. I mean, folks, as you listen, you talk to an individual, a young guy who's caused some horrible crimes, all right? And you say to him, you find out during your discussion that he always had said, my brother was always the one everybody liked. I couldn't do anything right, and blah, blah, blah. And as he was talking to me, he's getting more hostile in his voice. And until I finally said at one point, I said, Tony, I said, I can understand that. I said, you were just taking too much. They were driving you. And all of a sudden, the subject, Butch, as you know, starts agreeing with you. Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore. And before you know it, you get a confession there. So there's many different ways. And, Butch, you know them all. You agree with what I said there?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I mean by giving the person an out, almost so they feel justified in a sort of a distorted way that they were right in doing what they, or they had a good reason to do what they did.
They had a good reason, sure.
And we come to our successful conclusion too. So
yeah,
I had another one too. I'm sorry, I don't mean to.
Go ahead, start it off. We'll be going to a hard break, but that's okay.
Yeah, okay, another homicide that we couldn't get anything on this, and it took us a while to break it. It's funny how it did end up. So maybe we could touch on that if you like.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to a hard break. We're going to be back with Butch Lupinacci to talk more police stuff. So stand by. And I know true love waits throughout the day. Our true love awaits.
just toys to share with those who really care.
It's a pledge, a pleasurable fool.
Oh,
it's a pledge, a pleasurable fool.
Oh,
it's a pledge, a pleasurable fool.
Fool. That goes back into the 50s. And Butch, who sang that song?
That would be the Barons.
The Barons, right from Stamford, Connecticut.
That's right, a local group.
Group that made big. That was right.
Then they had Jim Einer, who was a member at the time, who made very big in the beginning.
Yeah, he went on to do Dirty Dancing, I believe.
That's correct.
Of his movies. Yeah. He ran that movie, became very famous. But, you know, we're talking police work here, and it's very interesting here. Why don't you tell? I had a question for you, because I don't even know this. When you won Cop of the Year, Policeman of the Year, what did you get it for? Just so it could be now, ladies and gentlemen, it could be a lot of times it's overall work, okay? Sometimes it's for one or two specific things that was done during that year, but I'll leave it up to you, Butch.
Yeah. Well, at that time, it was mostly crime for my partner and I. There was a lot of robberies and burglaries going on, so they put us on plain clothes for a while, and we were able to solve the it was one individual involved with most of the robberies. We were able to get that person. We solved several burglaries along the way. We got some good information from professional burglars and whatnot, working in Stamford and out of state, and one or two involved in a homicide. And we obtained, we were able to get someone who gave all this information up, sent many people, several people away for many years. So
wow.
we did a lot of work. We were crazy. We were young in those days. And, you know, when you're a rookie, you want to, you know, let's go, you know, you're all gung-ho. We did a little work on our own time without the police department knowing, which you know, I don't advise that. But ended up being okay. But we had an excellent year.
Yeah, that was excellent. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the biggest honors that you can get in any police department, whether you're 40 strong or 300 plus strong, like Stamford Police Department is and was. That was something. Were you surprised when you got the notice? How did they tell you? And did you think you were going to get it?
Well, you know, you're not sure. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I felt good that we were acknowledged, Vito, you know. And,
yeah.
We were nominated, and fortunately, we were fortunate enough to win it, you know. It was
a
beautiful dinner and, you know, great memories.
Oh, of course. That's your work. That's your hard work. That shows to the young people hard work pays off. You know,
absolutely.
And you know, many people we know, they go through their 20, 25, 30 years, and they do what is needed. They do what, you know, they have to do, and I'm not knocking them at all in any kind of a way. They put their time in, they do whatever, and, you know, sometimes, you know, at the end, you look back and you say, okay, maybe I should have done a little bit more on the job, but still, you stopped the crime in your area, you showed up, that who knows how many times you stopped something that was going to happen big, you know?
Right.
So we got to give kudos for all the police departments around the country, because it's hard work, and guess what, folks? It's getting harder and harder. Butch, would you agree with me when I say I hear from so many young people, and I had one young kid call me a couple months ago. He was graduating from graduated criminal justice, then got his master's in it, and all of a sudden his mother and his fiance both said to him, we really do not want you to, I think a cop was killed someplace, and it was like, who knows, it was one of the most cop killing months around, let's say, and their family just didn't want them to get involved in it. And I have said, you know, they got to make up their own mind, okay? But, you know, that the police departments are losing a lot of top people, especially people that have got terrific degrees and have moved on and maybe gone to Henry Lee's school up in New Haven. What do you think about all that nowadays?
Yeah, well, it's very true. I totally agree with that. You know, there's a danger naturally to our job, and every day you go out, there's a possible peril. And a lot of people are, you know, leery, or their families are leery, which I don't blame them. But, you know, nowadays you go out with ample help. You go out with protective gear and everything. And my advice is, if you really want to do it, go ahead and pursue it, because I found it very rewarding. It was a very rewarding career for me, you know.
And I know that you got to have the manpower to do it, but especially nowadays, if I was the chief and I was able to do it by the amount of men and women I'd had on a job, I would never want to see a one-person car, to be honest with you. I don't care if it's the slowest area, and I know it can't be done, that you have to go by your manpower, women power. What do you think about that? I just would like any call, because any call, it could be a simple, we think we heard somebody at the back window, and all of a sudden the perpetrator sees only one cop instead of two, which could change his mind too. We got to think about that and commit a crime, right?
Well, absolutely. And if you see, like, this, the state troopers in particular, they're mostly in our area anyway, one man cars, and you never know what you're going to come across. And you get a suspect who really doesn't want to go away or has a lot to lose, he may take his chances with you. But, you know, nowadays, which I really appreciate, and like I said, it should always be two-man cars. That shouldn't even be a question, really. It doesn't matter where you ride or whatever, because something could happen any place. But nowadays, thank God, they have teams, they have SWAT teams, they have this, that, and the other thing, whereas back in the day, I mean, you watch the front, I'll watch, you watch the back, and we'll go in the front, and we'll get him out if he comes out the back.
Right? Yeah, send the dog in.
So that's, a lot of times, that's how you do it. You surrounded the house, and you just busted through the front door, and went in and got the guy.
Yeah, I used to love it. I used to love it back in the day where I'm just ready to go into the apartment or whatever, and I see four or five squad cars screaming down the street. Kind of makes you feel much better. And again, the bad guys, if there's bad guys inside there, hear the same thing. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a bit of a deterrent for them to hear that stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We're going to talk.
Well,
one of our last. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just saying it's a good deterrent. Once, you know, they look out of a window and they see about 20 police officers or whatever
right.
the case may be, they'll think twice about it, you know?
Mostly. That's right. That's right. Maybe we'll jump into this thing. This is something somebody just who's in my house over here that works for a local PD here. What do you think about the school things going on? I have my own point of view. Let's start it on this here, and we'll end it on the last one. What do you think about what's going on in the schools? Is there any major way to stop these shootings?
I don't think there's a major way. If you a person hell bent on doing something, you could be a lot more safety or incautious and whatnot. I'm a big proponent of having police officers in school. Okay.
Yeah.
I know that they're talking about giving teachers guns and whatnot, whatever. But you got to understand, in order to shoot at somebody, it's not target shooting, you know. So
yeah,
police are professionals at this. So I'm a proponent of that, but I'm also a proponent of these people. Most times they need some serious mental help, and they've shown signs prior to doing this incident. I say 90% of the time that they really need to be addressed, and many of them aren't addressed. So as far as the mental health industry, they really have to, we have to get back involved with that too.
Yeah. And I tell people, I've done shows where everybody says, well, we got to do this. We got to put detectors here. But I said, look, all that stuff is great, but we need to understand two types of things. On a burglary, the suspect does not want to be caught. He wants to get in and get out. okay, on a burglary. Then let me get what I can get, park my car here, and let me take off. Okay, somebody that wants to go back into their workplace where they worked or go into the school maybe that they hated and everything else, they don't care. See, they just want to get into the door. They'll have an old truck with them, and they'll slam through the cinder blocks and then go through glass window because they know they're going to get killed. But all they want to do is to get in that building and do what they have to do. So there's a big difference between a burglary and that, and we go into a break right now. So everybody stand by.
Carla Thomas.
Another beautiful voice, the way she sings that.
She's still singing, as a matter of fact.
I know. I saw her on some oldie shows. That's right. Well, we were talking about, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Anthony Butch Lupinacci, Top Cop, and talking about the people. And I firmly believe that. I remember when I said it on a show, everybody nodded their head. Again, if you're committing a burglary, you want to go home. Okay, you don't want, so you park your car, you want to get out of that building. Okay, if you're going there to kill people, you got in your mind, I'm going to kill myself or I'm going to get killed, I don't really care. So I'm going to blast through the building, blast right through it. As long as I can get out of the car and start shooting, I'm happy. See, so all the talk about how can we stop this is good talk. But they need to realize if somebody really wants to get into that, they can slam into the building and get inside. And they know they're dying, but they want to be inside. Right, Butch? What do you feel on that?
Yeah, like I say, they're hell-bent on accomplishing their mission. And they're gonna find a way to do what they have to do. Well, that's why, too, is security and keeping everything secure as you can. It's not going to be 100%. And like I say, having police officers deal with mental issues, that you can't wait and say, oh, gee, we had this guy, this, that, the other. Well, why didn't you do something about it, you know?
Oh, I know.
But you're absolutely right. The person wants to get in, he's on a mission, doesn't care about his own life, so.
That's right. Our last question we'll have you answer a little bit. You've seen the police departments change. I told you on one of the breaks back when I was on the job, we didn't have any women on the job, surprisingly. So we had a matron that we would call in. But then all of a sudden, right about when you got on, we had the women where now they serve tremendously in their department. They've made sergeant and lieutenants and everything all across the country. How was it back then, though, for the first women? Because you're always going to, when you're the first women back in maybe the 80s, 90s, you're going to get sometimes, and I've heard it from women I've had on the show here, that they got mocked and everything else. What do you think about it? How far
did
it go?
Well, you know, I have to, and I remember when the first ladies came on the job, and you know, I call them pioneers, really. I give them a lot of credit. They went through a lot of stuff. You know, guys most people don't like change, period, let alone men, and they figure this is our job and our thing, and Bob, what are you going to do, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you, women have helped out tremendously. They've made, in our department alone, they've made rank, high rank and whatnot. But they weren't respected at first. I think they had to prove themselves more than a rookie male police officer coming on the job. and they did. Most of them did, really. They're here to stay, and I'm glad they do a great job.
That's very true. Very, very true. They've been fantastic. There's female police chiefs all over the country. and everything else. And Butch, I've had on my show some of the top female attorneys from across the country that you see on Fox News, CNN, and all over the place. And they've told me and my audience about 30 years ago, 35 years ago, when they got on, stepping into a courtroom in front of a judge who sometimes back then had a smirk on his face. And then it got even worse once the female attorney beat the male attorney in a case. And because, you know, then I'd get a call from that attorney, let's say 6 months later on a new case, and him saying some selective words about what he felt about the female attorney from back in the other case, you see? So it was very, very difficult, but they stood the time. It's kudos to them. And you young ladies, because I know you have, I had a mother just call me not too long ago for their daughter that's looking to be an attorney, and you know, that kudos. It's these people we're talking about now, these police officers went back then, and the lawyers that back in that day, man, they made it easy. It's kind of like when we talk about Jackie Robinson and people of that nature. They paved the way for you guys. So you people listening, I know you've mentioned that to me a lot of times, and here you're hearing a top police officer that can tell you how it was when he, a police officer, hearing about and seeing the women in his department. And, you know, I mean, do you think it gets to a point, Butch, any time where it really gets out of hand, where somebody will just say, I'm not listening to you, my lieutenant, I'm a sergeant, and, you know, the heck with you?
It has in the past, but I think we're going in a good direction now, Vito, to tell you the truth, okay?
That's good.
You know, man or woman, whatever, you know, you do your job, and eventually you'll be respected, okay? Unfortunately, it's taken women, police officers were not accepted readily, okay?
That's right.
I mean, geez, they're sticklers for details, and that's women attorneys, too. I've been up against a few of them, and they, you know, they do their homework. They know when they got there, they know what they're talking about. Really.
And I tell you, the men attorneys hate to get beat in cases. I've sat there, I've heard them, too, with them. If it wasn't so terrible, it'd be almost comical what the guys actually say, you know. But it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing here. And ladies and gentlemen, before we run out of time, you need to remember that I am from Colucci Investigations. This is my TV show here, my radio show, TV. You know, I told you I had to face for radio many times. I've been told that. And actually, I shook somebody's hand one time and said, thank you for the compliment. But anyway, we have a great private detective firm, Colucci Investigations. We handle all of Connecticut and sometimes out of Connecticut if we get to a certain agreement with other PIs on that way. We do everything, murder cases. We've been involved in so many things in the past. Pleasure to work with Butch Lupinacci, who has segued from working these as a police officer to working them now as a private detective. And so we're very, very thankful that we could do this together. He's a good friend. I didn't know him too well back in the day, but we've become very good friends. And we both are Yankee fans. Please don't hang up on us and we lose our ratings. But anyway, Butch, I want to thank you for being on the show. And I'll be talking here pretty soon. In fact,
my pleasure, Vito. My pleasure.
All right. Thanks a lot, Butch.